Good afternoon, Donald.
Is he? It's close enough. Close enough.
Afternoon somewhere.
It's a good day.
Yes.
It's a good day. It started out rainy, but even a rainy day is a good day if you're still if you're still pushing air.
Yes.
But it. I'm sorry. I gotta change my glasses. But every day is a good day when we're still pushing air. So I am just amazed at the creation that God has done. I mean, we got the universe and the stars and the moons and all the other planets. But the special part of it is the earth here. God created this earth with special attention so that it would be right for us. And then he gave it to us. And that just blows my mind. But I've got to say that not everything about this world we live in is to my liking. Some of it tries my patience.
Yes.
What kind of things try your patience about God's creation?
Spiders.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes.
Time.
Liberals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Snakes.
Yes. There lots of things. I'm going to tell you something that really, really tries my patience is someone who has to talk, giving you all the details. Every last detail. You know, we all know we have to wait. You can't make vegetables grow up faster. You can't produce fruit faster.
Right.
But people could talk faster. They could get to the point, but they don't really. Can I have? Oh.
Right arrow.
there we go. So you know we're talking in James today,
right,
as we will be through the end of the year. But one of the things, I'm not going to blame God for people who talk like that. But some people have to go on and on and on.
That's right.
I have a daughter that, when she comes to us for advice, she has every detail in mind, and whatever the issue is, it's been going on for years, and she's going to let me know every step of the way how we got there, and it can be kind of that way, you know. In the end, if I interrupt her, she's going to have some kind of attitude at me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I have to listen to the whole thing. I know, because I have tried interrupting her, but Poppy, you need to know all this in order to know how I got where I am.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, it's she's already got in mind what she's going to do when we're all done. Everything
right.
I have to say, if it's not building up what she said she wanted,
right,
or what she had in her mind that she wanted, then she's going to explain away and argue against any point that I make. So, you know, I'm just there, and you can see what can happen with stuff like that. But the book of James is a lot like that. The book of James is, James has a point to make, but then he just has to tell you all the stuff that goes into that point.
Oh.
But the book is, to me, in my mind, the book is all about one thing. The book of James has one single point, and well, I'm gonna, this is it here. The royal perfect law. James is every Well, I'll put it this way. When a couple of days ago, I was talking with Chris, and he asked me, what was I going to preach about? I said, well, your dad's going to preach on the third. He's going to preach about chapter 1 of James. And then you and Tevin are going to do, on the next weekend, which we'll have to work something else out, going to do chapter 2. But what are you going to do? I says, I'm going to preach a table of contents.
Okay.
And he said, huh? And you all didn't know that the book of James has a table of content, do you? But if you have to have a paper, one of the old NIVs, if you hold it just right, I need natural sunlight. I don't see it. But the table of contents of James is the first chapter. Mm-hmm. If you go into the book of James, and if you've read through it a number of times, I'm hoping that by now we've read through several times, or at least a couple of times, but I find in the book of James 15 topics. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back and touches each one of them as he goes through the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, the big topic, well, I'll tell you first that the book of James seems to be divided into three sections. So you have that table of content of 15 topics, but I find three sections in the book of James. In James chapter 1, I'm looking for my verses here. Boy, I really went through that. In James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, you have the work of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done on our behalf and what our response to it should be. Mm-hmm. James chapter 1, 19 through 27, the end of the chapter, is about how our response to Jesus' work is impacted by how we treat one another and how we treat all other individuals. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the first part is. But I'm not going to go any more than that, because Scott's got this next week. Right there in verse 25 of chapter 1. Whoops, let's go back one. There we go. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the one who will be blessed in what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday, that he says almost the same thing again in James 2 on verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
This really is the point of the book of James. I did when I was doing the table of contents, I found, you know, usually you can't see it from there, but there are two or three scriptures for each of the subjects in chapter 1, but I have a dozen or more references to love your neighbor,
right,
as yourself throughout the book. And I have a slide at the end that will give you some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that, as far as I'm concerned, it is the topic of the book. Then we can move on in, and I'm going to go over some of these references that go back to love your neighbor as yourself, the perfect law that gives liberty. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, it is about showing favoritism, mm-hmm, about favoring one kind of person over another. Whether it's favoring a rich over a poor, a liberal over a conservative, or vice versa. We are not called to discriminate in who we love.
Right.
We're called to love all of our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to, even the difficult ones. It doesn't mean that we have the same relationship with all,
right,
but we have the same respect, the same love. We try to treat all the same.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Paul writes, I think it's in Romans, he says that we should live at peace with everyone so far as it's concerning us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live at peace with everyone. If somebody just wants to be nasty, they got to be nasty. But we don't have to respond in kind.
Right.
Right.
We don't have to continue in a daily relationship with them. But we are called to not show favoritism. It's a command.
Command.
Wow, I am really close. It says here in James 2, 1 through 8, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into our assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to need to bring this further out here. Sorry, Richard. So we see that the first, that there, the royal law is to love. And if we keep going in verses 9 through 13, we'll find out that our favoritism will be judged by God.
Preach it, bro.
And it says, "But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not commit murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So speak and do so as those who will be judged by the law of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really convicting point of view. It's really, and it's not a point of view, it's a command. It's the word of God.
Yeah.
And we have to mold our hearts to the word.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, it's not up to us to try to mold the word around our heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if we keep going on, we see chapter 2, 9 through 13. I just did that one. Is that in there twice? We see chapter 2, 14 through 26, and we see that faith leads to caring.
Yes.
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
as the scriptures go from verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We see that the command, the principle that's held up, and then we can go on and then we see the result of that, or the God's perspective. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings out, I'm sorry. I am going on, but I'm moving on to Matthew. Just as reference for what we're talking about in James and how we treat people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is Jesus, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's calling them mm-hmm. to be just. He's mm-hmm. calling them to act mm-hmm. in justice.
Right.
Or as Micah puts it, he says to love mercy, act justly, and walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
And this is what he tells them with all their the way they're being. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. How we treat others, whether it's this small group of believers here, or our family members, even the ones in other states, if it's our neighbors here in Jackson or Byram or Pearl, our words, our heart toward other people is going to be what God judges. Over and over again throughout Scripture, God is talking about how do we relate to one another. We know that in Luke 18, Jesus says that Matthew 22, all the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Mm-hmm. Love your father in heaven and love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
On these, he says, all the law and the prophets hang. We know that from the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. And we have, this is the list. I said there's some more for us to go over, but I don't think I'm going to go over those ones yet. But if you remember Luke 18, where the Pharisee, Jesus tells a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector, and the Pharisee goes up to pray, and he says, thank you, God, that I am not like other men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he named a few people. He says, or even this tax collector. I give a tenth, and he's feeling all proper about himself. You know, his chest has popped out, and he's feeling good. But then the tax collector goes up to pray, and he says, he won't even look up to heaven. He just beats his chest and says, have mercy on me, God.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sinner.
Right.
And Jesus said that man went away justified, not the Pharisee.
Right.
The Pharisee did all the right things, but he didn't have the right heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to watch what's in our heart toward all people.
Mm-hmm.
Toward all people.
Right.
Over and over, that's really my big message when I speak about the gospel, is how do you treat other people? I had planned to put a song in here, but I thought it was kind of too long, but it's It's called, it's by Acapella, and it's called Get to the Point. And it's a guy sharing his faith with another guy, and he keeps talking and telling him about how great Jesus is. And the other person says, yeah, but get to the point. He says, how has it changed you? And then the song just busts out. It really makes, it takes right to the heart of the gospel. I've changed because Jesus died for me.
Right, amen.
If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube and look it up. Acapella's Get to the Point.
Okay.
I know I've gone a short time here, but I'm done anyway.
That's okay, bro.
Thank you so much. I want to just say that James may not have believed in Jesus in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was his brother, but I promise you he was listening.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, you read the book of James, and you can find most of it in the Sermon on the Mount, which was really early in Jesus' ministry.
Yeah.
But we can all be like James. We can become doers of the word and not just hearers.
That's right.
Yes.
And in doing so, we love our neighbor as ourselves.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Amen.
Amen.